I know you're probably wondering. I don't know if you're on the edges of your seats, but I'm sure that you're wondering, why in the world is he showing that on the screen? This is an actual place, by the way. In fact, that is the a view looking out on the lake of where my parents have a cottage up in the Bruce Peninsula. You say, where in the world is that? Well, if you know Ontario, It kind of comes up from the bottom, but then there's Toronto over here, but then there's a peninsula that comes up, and there's a ferry that you can take, and it'll take you to Manitoulin Island. And from there, you can take a road and go to Northern Ontario. We used to take that way quite a lot. And this is right on the peninsula. And I have to say that if my parents have been wondering what they should do with that piece of property, whether they should sell it or whether they should keep it, mostly they want to keep it, even at their age. And we've done a lot of fishing here. But let me say it like this. Everybody needs a place where they can talk to the Lord. I worked with Brother John Stewart for about 10 years in the Miramichi. Some of you know him. And John Stewart had a place not very far away from his home. He calls it Beckett Brook. John will tell you everybody needs a Beckett Brook where he goes and talks to the Lord. He walks down there whether that brook's running or not. Everybody needs a Miller Lake where you can go and talk to the Lord. I'll tell you what, it's not just about asking the Lord for things. It's just about talking and praising him. We sang praise the name of Jesus for a reason. Because everybody needs to take moments throughout their day to praise the Lord. Glory to God. See, it's not something that we do just on Sunday. It's something that we do throughout the week. I'll tell you what. You get in the presence of Almighty God. Of Almighty God. Did you hear me say that? You get in the presence of Almighty God, things begin to happen. And usually I'm the one that gets changed. Glory to glory, line upon line, precept upon precept. And my wife will say, Lord, change that man. But the fact is, we all need to be changed. And even in that time, in that journey of needing to be changed, sometimes we are confronted with stuff that kind of gets us down. Is there anybody in the house? You don't have to put up your hand. Is there anybody in the house that you've been depressed? Is there anybody in the house where you've been troubled? Is there anybody in the house when you've been stressed out? Those are the moments you need to find a Miller Lake. You need to find a quiet place. Oh yeah, you can do it while you're fishing, but sometimes you just need to go to these places and just sit. Now on the end of that dock, there's wheels. I don't know if you can see it real well, but on the end of that dock, we usually have a board that goes across that, sits right on top of the two wheels, the two back front wheels on the farthest end towards the lake. That's the place where I like to sit. You don't know how many times I'll go to that place and I'll just sit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm looking around at God's creation. Thank you, Jesus. In fact, it seems to me that there is a verse in the Bible that says, in all of your ways, acknowledge him and he might direct your path. You're right. Praise the Lord. He will direct your path. Thank you, Jesus. Now, earlier we celebrated those that have served in some way in the church. And I was thinking about this morning, as a matter of fact, and I said, Lord, this doesn't make sense, because the message, actually, last night, I got a new message. I'm giving you a new message than I had. The other one, I'll have to do at a later time. I don't know why that happens, but it, anyway, I said, well, Lord, how do these things connect? And then my mind, just this morning, we were in the sanctuary, and I thought, well, in fact, I was going heading toward the foyer. I said, Lord, really, this doesn't really connect. And in all of our serving, in all of the good things that we do, sometimes we get weary, and sometimes we get tired, and there are some times when it can be, just serving, it can be a stress. And I thought, well, okay, I get this. Because sometimes our heart goes from, I'm doing this unto the Lord, to sometimes it's, what can I get out of it? And it's during those moments, sometimes we can get tired, we can get stressed. Do you know, the disciples spent 3 years with the Lord. They had no idea of what that journey looked like. Jesus just said, follow me. That's all he said, follow me. All he said, follow me. And the Bible says for some of those guys, they just picked up and left. Whether it was Matthew at a tax collector's table, just followed the Lord. Why would they do something like that? Because there was something in the voice of Jesus that was calling. You know, it's not just a head thing. It's a heart thing. It really is. He always is looking for a heart that will serve him. So I got thinking about these disciples. When things really got rough, you know, when people really begin to get agitated with Jesus, when the religious leaders of the day were getting agitated with Jesus because he was doing things that they didn't approve of. He was doing things that were even contrary to their mindset. And these disciples, these followers of Jesus, were a part of this. They watched Jesus as he walked. He was the Son of God, yet he was man. Yet the Bible says he walked without sin. So if you can imagine these disciples who followed him, when Jesus died, he told them many times, many, many, many times, that he was going to suffer, but also that he'd be raised up the third day. These disciples really didn't get it. There's one guy that I'm particularly interested in. It says in John chapter 20, and I begin at verse 24. It just says, one of the 12, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, we've seen the Lord. But he replied, I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands. Put my fingers into them and place my hand into the wound in his side. Verse 26. 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, notice that, as before, Jesus was standing among them. Peace with you, he said. Then he said to Thomas, notice, he says to Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. My Lord and my God, Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, you believe because you've seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. Now, Let me ask you, wouldn't you like to be a part of this scene? This scene would be a great part in a play. But this was no play. Thomas had walked with Jesus. He saw Jesus. And Jesus had been around for about 8 days, and Thomas had not been a part of the group that had seen Jesus before. Can you imagine? Thomas seeing all the hostility of the crowd. He saw the one that he gave up his life for. He saw him crucified on a cross. He'd heard about him being put in a tomb. And Thomas goes home. He's afraid. He shuts the door. He slides down the wall. He sits down. He's crying. They crucified you, Lord. I give you my life to follow you. I can't see this. I don't know. He begins to feel sorry for himself. In contemplating the very thing that is seemingly taken his life and his joy, he sees Jesus died. He's got to be in his room by himself for a number of days. I really think that depression had set in. He was troubled in his mind, in his heart. He'd been serving the Lord. He'd been with the Lord to see that people got fish and bread to some 4,000 at one time and 5,000 at another time. He served the Lord. He's given his heart to the Lord. But now his master is gone. Somehow, these disciples missed the word where Jesus said, "But on the third day." How does one go from joy unspeakable and serving with all his heart and all of his life? He was even amongst the disciples that had prayed for people, laid hands on the sick and they recover. He saw all kinds of miracles. But this was one occasion when his Lord, his master, was gone. It had to be at least 6 or 7 days that Thomas would alone by himself, apart from the rest. On the eighth day, I can just well imagine that on day 7, Thomas hears a knock at the door. Thomas, we know you're there. Thomas goes, "Oh, go away, guys. No, open up, open up. What do you want?" I can just see him opening the door. And all the disciples are there. "Thomas, he's alive. He's alive. He's alive. We sang it. He's alive. He's risen. Thomas, he's alive. Get a hold of yourself." Thomas is still, "Oh, come on, guys. Leave me alone. How can he be alive?" "Well, Thomas, we've seen him. There was some of the women, they went the third day. They went early. And you know what? He wasn't there. couple of other women stayed around the tomb, and you know what? The angel said to him, he's not here. He's alive. So the ladies, they run to where Peter is and some of us, and they told us he's alive, and we've seen him several times. Matter of fact, we were in a special meeting, and Jesus was there. What more do you need when you have a 10 guys show up and they say, "We saw him"? And Thomas says, "Look, guys, unless I see him, unless I put my hands in his wounds, I don't believe this." 10 guys say to him, "Yeah, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive. Come on, get a hold of yourself." But in his depression and in his mindset and the feelings that were in Thomas, I don't blame Thomas. Because some of those other disciples, they had their doubts too. They did it first. They saw Jesus. Can you imagine? Thomas, he saw so much. But he's having a hard time believing his fellow workers that Jesus is alive. Well, on the eighth day, the Bible says, on the eighth day, the doors were locked. Nobody went to the door to unlock the door. The Bible says the door was locked. Now, normally, somebody that's going to get into a room, you're going to find a door or a window to go through. But the door was locked. But suddenly, everyone say suddenly. Okay, you're in a group. Let's say this group. We're in a room. And suddenly, wouldn't that freak you out? Come on, let's be real. The Son of God, who was dead, just shows up. And what's amazing to me, the Son of God called Thomas by name. He points out Thomas. And he addresses Thomas's doubt. What a loving Savior. He doesn't condemn him. He just shows up. Interesting that he knows exactly what Thomas was thinking. That tells me that the Lord knows what's going on even when we're depressed, when there's trouble, when there's something that stresses us out. Do you think that it was just Thomas that Jesus knows? No. The Bible says that he sees the sparrow. He sees how many hairs are on our head. He's got them numbered. How many we've lost. He knows. He knows all about us. We're not just a number. How do I know that? Because Jesus, he shows up and he says, "Thomas." Interesting that when Jesus was walking down the road, he sees a little guy in a tree. You know what's fascinating to me? And Jesus looks up in that tree. He says, "Hey, Nicodemus." He knows us by name. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He knows what's in our heart. He knows our doubts. He knows our cares. Regardless of whether we are serving ones or we're not quite there to minister to the Lord and for the Lord, Jesus knows. Well, praise God. So, Thomas, why don't you take your fingers and touch my wounds? Does the scripture say that he actually did it? But he sees Jesus. Interesting. He sees with his own eyes. Huh. And Jesus said, hey, this is one thing. But blessed are those who believe even though they do not see. You might have not seen the things that Jesus will work through your life yet. But if you believe the Lord and trust the Lord without your own understanding, okay, because some things we're not going to be able to figure them out. The trial we're not going to be able to figure out. The frustration we might not be able to comprehend all the stuff that's going on. But turn your eyes on Jesus. Believe that he exists. And that he exists today to meet you at your point of need. Praise the Lord. He'll take care of your frustrations and your... In fact, the Bible says he'll turn your mourning into joy. Glory to Jesus. It does say that the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know what amazes me in this story? That when the doors were locked, suddenly, it uses the word as before. So this was not the first time. There were obviously other times when all the disciples had been together. In fact, a little bit later in, I believe it's Corinthians, where Paul the Apostle says that there were some 500 people that saw Jesus all at once. That had not happened yet at this point. But as before, Jesus was standing among them, and the first thing he says is, peace with you. I believe one of the guys that he was talking with was Thomas. He says to Thomas, peace be with you. You don't have to be troubled anymore. Praise the Lord. You do not have to go through your turmoil anymore. Thomas, he sees Jesus in the middle of the room. He sees the other disciples excited around him. And Jesus says, peace with you. Do you know, it's a very similar message that Jesus speaks to them. In John chapter 14, very similar message. Don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Later on, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would also know my Father, who my Father is. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I'm going to my Father. Now, if Jesus kept his word, when he showed up to the and appeared to the disciples, and he says to them, I'm going to come again. He kept his word there. Don't you think he will keep his word today? Jesus says, I am the same, forever the same, yesterday, today, and forever. God will keep his word, and he'll be with you always. We don't have to stress. We need to find our Miller Lake, our Beckett Brook, during those times of stresses, we just simply know need to go to the quiet place and spend some time with the Lord and focus on Him. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be depressed. Trust in God. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every one of your people here at Bethel. You have so many plans for us. Eyes have not seen nor ears have heard. But we have got a glimpse from time to time of what you desire to do in this facility. Thank you, Lord, for each one that have served you thus far. Give us the strength to be able to serve you continually. And let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in your sight. Thank you, Lord. Help us to believe and to trust in you. Not leaning toward our understanding as perhaps Thomas did, was leaning on his own understanding. But in all of our ways, help us to acknowledge you so you can direct our pathway. You'll lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. I ask, Father, that you would be with your people as they come and go, as they rise up and they sit down, and as they work and they play and they rest and they wait in your presence. Give us the wisdom to look for that special Miller-like place. Thank you, Lord, that we can come into your presence in quietness. We can rest in you and find strength again. Will you renew us? For your word declares, they that wait upon the Lord, you will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. We'll run and not be weary. We'll walk and not faint. Bless them in their activities as they meet with those that do not know you as personal Lord and Savior. Help us, Lord, in our walk and our talk to display and see your exploits. For the people that know their God will do exploits. And for this, we give you praise and glory and honor. In the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.